Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, everyone. It's your favourite Michael Legg here. I'm here to tell you that there are some, well, sound issues with this week's Legg Haul.
When aren't there?
Yes, I know. Mm-hmm. But see if you can spot the sound issues. That's a fun game to play. And also, let's see if you can spot where we stopped the podcast and restarted it again. That's another fun game we're playing at Legg Haul. This is going to be such a fun Legg Haul. It is a fun Legg Haul. We're going to have a really great time, although not for a while, because we have to listen to the theme tune. Sorry. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode one of season two. It's been quite a while since we've done a podcast. I think it was 4 days since the last one, the Christmas special. But now we're on to season two. Hope you like the theme tune. I've absolutely no idea what the theme tune was. I haven't edited this yet. But I'm really excited that there's all sorts of new things happening here for Legg Haul season two. For instance, now we start off with Michael's fun fact. Michael's fun fact. I don't have a sting yet for that, so that'll do, right? That'll do as a sting. So here's Michael's fun fact for the very first. Did you know that the very first person to be offered the role, the lead role of John McClane in Die Hard, was the 77-year-old Frank Sinatra? There you go. I'll be honest, it was quite a boring fun fact. I'll take it all back. The new slot is called Michael's Boring Fact. There we go. Sean, did you know that?
I'll be honest, I was only half listening because I didn't realise that I'm the maiden voyage of the second series of this show.
You are. And by the way, you're not technically in the podcast yet.
Oh,
so okay. This is just pre-talk.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going out. People will unfortunately hear this, but you have not been introduced, and therefore you're under no pressure. The part where you can swear as much as you want. But after that, once I introduce you, you have to swear as much as I want. So it's a totally different thing. Shan, did you know that Frank Sinatra was offered the role of John McClane, the lead role in Die Hard?
I didn't know this. No. New information.
There you go. 77. And he decided he wouldn't do it.
Have you heard about Michael Flatley's film?
I keep I keep wanting to see it, but it hasn't come out yet, has it? It will probably never come out, right?
I mean, the trailer is a thing of beauty in itself.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, it is really gorgeous.
It's up there with I'd say it's even worse, isn't it, than Bulla Quo. I don't know if you ever saw the film Bulla Quo.
No,
Status Quo. You know the Beatles.
Yeah.
Right. You've heard of the Beatles, right? So the Beatles and bands like the Beatles, they got really famous. So they made lark about films like Hard Day's Night, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Status Quo, they were famous, weren't they? They were very famous, and they made a larkabout film, but they made it well into their 60s. And it's insane. Nice. Well, I mean, in one way, it is nice. There's no reason why you can't larkabout in your 60s. I think Bulla Quo proves that Status Quo can't larkabout in their 60s.
What happens in the film?
You know, that... well... I believe it's a case of mistaken identity that leads Rick Parfitt to completely organise 9/11. It's actually quite bleak.
Oh, so it's like, yeah. I mean, it's the sort of the Golden Girls with a little bit extra.
It is, you're right. I never really thought. It's like the Golden Girls meets the IRA, sort of, you know. It's good, it's good. Do you know what? I take it all back. It's a good film. Hey, listen, everyone, you'll never guess what. Right here at the beginning, episode freaking one of season two of Lake Hall. Never guess who's fallen into the Lake Hall. It is someone I admire ridiculously. It's the brilliant Sian Doxey. And everyone applause. So you're now in the podcast, Sian.
Oh, I'm in. Yes.
How are you?
I'm tired, but I am good. I'm trying to rewire my brain to not be completely caffeine dependent at the moment, and it's just going badly. So
okay. So you've stopped caffeine.
I have just made these like stuttering, inept attempts to not be like made of caffeine, because over lockdown I would just wake up, think fuck no, drink coffee until I didn't want to die, look at Twitter, drink more coffee, and then maybe send one email and then try to go to bed, and that cycle has kind of kept going.
Doesn't that make you a perfect character for a fun rom-com?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I've had a coffee. Oh, my God, my phone. I dropped it in the toilet. Oh, I can't see who tweeted. It's you know, you're cack-handed, but then along comes this person.
I think
you'd be perfect rom-com, you know, fodder.
That's very flattering. I thought the whole reason that comedians tried to get, like, you know, like a sort of, like, you know, the sort of, like, Mae Martin or Aziz Ansari, I know that's, like, problematic or whatever, but, you know, like, got themselves a show, was that they could kind of just, like, move from coffee shop to coffee shop to coffee shop, telling the parts of a, like, failed romantic anecdote. I thought that's kind of, like, the holy grail of where you're going career-wise, is just to get to the point where you're keeping just enough of a level of caffeine in your system in the daytime and then enough of a level of alcohol in your system in the nighttime, and just explain to your friends how badly a date went. Yeah.
I just realized I think I'm completely off caffeine. I don't think I've had caffeine in 3 months, maybe a bit more than 3 months.
How are you alive? How are you doing anything?
Oh, I just drink alcohol earlier. Yeah. I've always got a little breakfast Carlsberg at the side of the bed, just to, you know, just to open the old eyes, get things going. I mean, it's only 3.8%. It's a perfectly serviceable breakfast beer.
Yeah, simple. Yeah.
Exactly. It just gets the old jump leads and the old heart going. I think it's fair to say that I was addicted in some way to Diet Coke, but I realized I was just addicted to the rhythm of drinking a drink that was useless.
Yeah. Go on. No, sorry.
No, I've got nothing more to say about it. In fact, on any subject, I'm amazed I got a sentence out.
I was going to say, I generally don't believe in, giving up on things, like cold turkey. I find it really annoying. I can't drink alcohol. And I find, when people do dry January, they sort of come to me, I think for, just a sort of needing a sort of social validation or whatever of oh yeah, cool, I'm doing this thing, and I'm why the fuck would you do this? And I feel I sort of feel like they're being a tourist in my personal hell. Do you get that with Veganuary as a as a notorious vegan, when people are really pleased with themselves for doing what you do all the time for a couple of weeks, does it really piss you off?
Yeah. Nothing pisses me off anymore because you've just called me a notorious vegan, and I think I need a t-shirt with that written on it.
I'll make you one.
I think I actually feel like I've won something.
Yay! Oh my god.
I actually feel lighter.
Should we stop recording? No, we might get another t-shirt.
Oh, I stopped recording ages ago. As soon as the boring fun fact, I'm fucking sick of this podcast. Now, listen, Sean, you're here for one reason and one reason only. We, the world, we would like to know who you are, really.
I'm really excited about this because I don't think I've had enough of a character assassination in this much depth. So thank you.
You did. Neither of us did the Edinburgh Fringe this year, and you must have really missed not being taken down a peg or two in August.
Oh yeah, so, the problem is things are going too well. I think that hurts me.
Right. Well, allow me to do everything that Kate Copstick should have done to you this month by asking you 10 questions, Sean. I've got 10 questions for you. And from those 10 questions, I'm going to put together a psychological profile of you. I'll be honest with you. I've enjoyed doing this with everyone. But you're genuinely, I think you're so nice. I'm actually a little bit scared of you. Almost if I was horrible to you, I'd be I don't really feel like doing anything anymore, and I'll probably just crawl into a cupboard for a while. So, unfortunately, I think you may have found a loophole here at the leg hole. I'm hoping that's not the case. I'm hoping I find the inner strength to really lay into you psychologically and verbally and every horrible way. But if I can't, That's all down to you and your lovely personality. But there are 10 questions.
Okay.
Two questions. The first and the last question are the same that I ask all of my guests here at the Leg Hole. But, oh, Sean, those middle eight. Oh, my God. They're all crafted. I sat in the garden just smoking so much crack and thinking of you. And I got these 8 questions.
That is
and I
the
think,
nicest
hopefully,
way that someone's paid attention to me in recent history. Mm-hmm. So already win-win for old Shan.
Yeah, I was just alone thinking, if I ever saw her, I'd bloody ask her these questions. So here we go. Question number one, Shan Doxy. Do you like me?
Yeah, I do. I think that you probably won't believe me, but yeah, I like you.
No,
all.
I don't.
I will say,
no one does.
I mean, listen, I will say, don't dine out on it because I do try and find something likable about everyone generally, but you're less laborious than most, so yeah.
Okay, less laborious than most. So, again, it's back to the Edinburgh Fringe. If this was a review, it would so far that would be the polite quote, wouldn't it?
It would be a t-shirt or, yeah.
It would have to go above the 2 stars, you know, that get less laborious. So, for instance, this isn't one of the questions. It's just an added question.
Oh, I also then have a question, but I'll let you ask your question.
Oh, great. Yeah, great. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So say, for instance, you met... I'm really struggling to find somebody really evil that I think you could not find any good in them.
Hit me.
Okay, Putin. So if you... Like, if you were doing the Edinburgh Fringe this year and Putin was in the front row, how would you deal with it? Keep in mind, you only see the good in people.
I'd ask him about the horse. How's the horse doing? Is he kind horse? Yeah, or was the horse just, you know, literally a one-trick pony, just there for the press photo and then forgotten about forever? Also, I'd really want to know. I want to know what happened to that horse after its brief moment of fame with Putin. I think that, the pathway of how Putin arrived at one of my shows would be fun. Maybe he'd be thinking that I was, like, hiding members of Pussy Riot, like, in the props, I don't know. I mean, I'd love to have a chat with him.
That's true. I mean, I would like to chat to him. And that is such a great point. You would have asked about the horse, but I think you made an even better point when you said, is he kind to the horse? Because I bet he is.
Do you think he's one of those people who's like...
Yeah, because he won't see the horse's competition. The horse isn't competition. And the horse isn't out to get him.
This is probably a really sketchy detour. But I remember when... So when I worked in a strip club, there was a real thing of if a customer was sitting with me and realized that we were kind of on a level, like, so realized that I, like, was a first language English speaker, or that, like, I was educated, you know, like, that would immediately put them off going for a dance with me sometimes, because they felt like, oh no, this person is sort of... oh, we're on the same, like, wavelength. And then they go off with someone who doesn't speak as good English. Who they kind of, like, couldn't empathize with on the same human level. I think Putin does that with horses, but the other way around. Do you see what I mean?
That's true. Like, that is true. Yeah. I mean, I think if you really, really, really... were a good spy and you wanted to infiltrate Russia, you definitely need a friend with you so you can both dress as a horse.
Yeah, totally.
I think it's the only way in.
I'll be honest, I'm impressed that two people make up a horse. I feel like there always should be a third person in the middle, because, like, they're quite big, like, they're quite long. Surely you need a connector in the middle, or is it really like a two-person thing? Am I just really naive here about horse anatomy?
No, I'll be honest, you're not naive about horses at all. In fact, if anything, you've thrown up a lot of questions. Do the rest of us know what horses are? Because to me, it looks like it should be two people.
Yeah.
But now that you've said it, maybe...
When I see the panto horse, you know, and again, this is a very British thing.
Yeah.
The panto horse, it looks like it's gone through the zip file, you know, it's been compressed. Or is it like... a long dog? It feels non-horse like but I've never written in to complain to a panto about this, because I feel that would be callous. I wanted to ask you a question. Do you remember your worst ever Edinburgh Fringe review?
Yeah, I do. And I'm not saying it was good. It was a bad review, but what was great about it was so badly written, it was just hilarious to read. The first sentence, like, was nearly two paragraphs long. It was actually hard to read, never mind bad. Yeah, and it was good. It was Broadway Baby, you know. Listen, once you lose them, your audience is gone.
Yeah, but 100%.
I got a two-star review from Broadway Baby. And it was, like, none of it made sense. It felt like it was written by an AI.
Yeah, well...
It was really weird.
It's written by an AI child, but,
that's true.
As you said, it's an important publication.
Sean, I'm going to be honest with you about something.
Oh, yeah.
I was about to stop the podcast because your mic made you sound like a robot. But the thing is, I like robots, so I didn't want to interrupt you.
Oh.
But now it seems to have sorted itself out, and I'm a little bit... Could you start sounding more like a robot just for the rest of this?
For consistency, yeah. So
yeah, would you mind?
Yeah, more monotonous.
You couldn't get more monotonous than this podcast, so don't you worry about that. But if you could answer most questions with either negative or positive, that would be great.
Totally. Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Just a quick one.
I didn't write anything down in your psychological profile, because I'll be honest with you. One, I find robots charming, and two, I find you charming, and three, I think you're absolutely right. Do you know what? In fact, I've got to write it down. She's correct about horses.
Yes, that's all I want. Woohoo!
Sean, all I've got for you so far is. But by the way, welcome back. Sean.
Oh, hey, thanks.
After the technical difficulties there, luckily, a tech guy like me was on hand. I know a lot about these things, and I punched the computer, threw beer at it, and it seems to be working now.
It's a lot smoother.
I'll be honest with you, Sean. You may mock that sort of thinking, but it's what got me through a lot of my late teenage years.
Who hasn't punched a computer and felt better for it?
No, no. What I'm saying is I acted in a way that I shouldn't. And some people would punch me and throw beer at me. And do you know what? I learned from that. And I don't see why a computer, which is supposedly smarter than me, couldn't also learn from that. All we've got from you, Sean, so far is you are correct about horses.
That's the
entire profile. Yeah, well, yeah, there's plenty more to go. We haven't even got to question number two. We're going to question number two right now.
I had so many questions for you, but that's not the show format. Sorry.
Well, I mean, if you've got a question for me, you go right on ahead. But I mean, I fear my own psychological profile. Although I'll be honest with you, I think I know what it is.
Okay. Cool.
I think it's fair. Here we go. Question number two. Sean, what's the biggest thing you've ever eaten?
The biggest thing I have ever eaten? Do you mean in terms of the size of the meal or in terms of...
I haven't thought about it.
Oh, because I was thinking like, if it's the size of the meal, that's one thing. Or if it's what it was before, like, you know, if it was a yak that I was eating a part of it, that's a different...
I understand where you're going with that, and you know you're quite right to bring this up. But I would say, look, who knows what you're like behind closed doors? I don't think you've eaten a whole yak.
Not like a whole one. No, I haven't eaten a yak. It's a nice idea, but I won't overstretch myself.
Not if you're a yak.
The biggest thing I've eaten, it's probably. To be honest, it's probably like a massive milkshake, because I went to the States and you can get a strawberry milkshake there where like they give you a like pint and a half size of the strawberry milkshake. But then also in a goblet next to it, they give you like what they couldn't fit into the cup, which is really cool.
Put it in a goblet.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like fancy.
It's like a steel like canister.
Like a jewel encrusted gold goblet.
Like what you drink mead out of if you were a Norse king. Yeah, but you're a child king on the West Coast. Yeah, that was massive. Although, again, it's just, this is a very layered question. I can't remember if it was massive because it was objectively big or because I was a child. So proportionately, it seemed enormous. It might have just been like the size of a can of Coke and I've just, you know, expanded.
You have found a loophole in the question, haven't you? You've got, because you could have just said fish fingers, but I was, you know, 8 weeks old.
Yeah.
And that would have been massive, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a baby, a fish finger is the size of your leg. So
okay, I'm going to put down correct about fish fingers.
Oh man, is this just going to be a list of things I'm right about?
it's disappointing. But hopefully at some point we'll get something that we could totally cancel your ass on.
Yeah.
But at the moment, you if anyone would question fish fingers and horses with you, fuck me, I would not like to be. I would not like to be those people. We've got a third question here, Sean.
Okay.
Sean, what are you best at playing? Professional basketball or the tambourine?
Unprofessional tambourine, definitely.
Good answer, but also I like the pause because I like to think that you were picturing yourself in, like, I don't know, the Chicago Bulls or something like that.
Yeah.
Just going, now, how could I cut this?
I also think that no one is good at playing the tambourine, but basketball, in my understanding, right, has some criteria. So,
I think so. Yes,
I'm not sure, but I would guess so. Yeah, I'm gonna say the tambourine, but not make like a bold claim of having any tambourine skill by inference.
Right. Yeah. I mean, tambourine's one of those. It's hard to call it an instrument, isn't it? It's just an object.
It's just something to fill the time. Yeah.
I don't think anyone can be bad at it or good at it.
Although,
I guess someone could be bad at it.
I did get I was in the primary school orchestra, which isn't a brag. All of the children were in the orchestra, and I got demoted from the bongo drums. Yeah, I know. My parents have never recovered. I got demoted from the bongo drums to, you know, just the sticks, the sticks that you clack together
just,
and go.
Just some sticks.
Yeah.
No. Do you know what? I know very little about the orchestra, but I don't know the instrument, the sticks.
You know, it's the two sticks. It's not the drumsticks. No. That's too hard. It was the, you know, like, I'm going to send you a photograph.
That's the thing about the drumsticks. They're technically quite easy, but then you've got to master the entire drum kit as well.
You know,
so the drumsticks is, in many ways, only one small part of the instrument.
And then you have to work outwards. Yeah.
Whereas the sticks, I guess, is a lot easier because nobody, unless you want to set fire to the orchestra, I guess then you have to learn how to rub the sticks together.
I mean, that would be,
yeah,
that would be impressive because they are like, they're like laminated. I think they are, I don't want to make bold claims again, but I think they are probably fireproof. But again, I'm not a musician professionally. Yeah. So, yeah.
Can you play any instrument?
Nope.
Me neither.
Really?
Did you want to? Yeah, exactly. It's a waste of life, isn't it?
Can you play a bit of guitar? Hang on. Am I hallucinating this?
Oh, you definitely are, because I can play none of a guitar.
No.
I can't even play one bit of the guitar. I can play, I can pretend to play Smoke on the Water by Deep Purple, but someone must have shown me that, and I can't even remember how I know that.
Mm.
It's a bit like, it's a bit like speaking Irish. I can't really speak a lot of it. I can speak a bit of it, and I don't remember learning any of it.
But you can do the Deep Purple like version of Smoke on. Could you do Smoke on the Water in Irish?
I can't. Well, exactly. Yeah. Nam hen nacker agus a fix. Yeah, exactly. I could. You know, I could bless myself. But other than that, no. That's it.
Man, more gigs should involve a blessing. I'm gonna go see the Magnetic Fields on Wednesday, and I want there to be a blessing. Brilliant. Yeah. I can't wait. Although apparently not an amazing live band, but still.
Do you know what? It's not amazing you say that. I've been listening to, and if you walk away from this podcast, I'll totally understand. I've been listening to a box set of Bob Dylan's 1966 live tour. Like, it's just the same. Basically the same set over and over and over and over and over again. And I'm delighted. But here's the thing. The gigs end with the national anthem.
Ooh.
And but weirdly, I went, I'm quite nostalgic for that.
Really?
Obviously my Northern Irish upbringing, I had fear when that happened. But now it's like, I'm not scared of it anymore. It's way in the past.
Yeah.
And then it was quite weirdly, the gig in Belfast, it doesn't have the national anthem.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go.
Wait, I'm being really dense here. which country's national anthem?
Oh, I should have said it's the UK tour. Yes, you're absolutely right.
I thought it was the American one because he's an American guy, right?
Yeah, but come on. I know visitors aren't welcome in Britain, but occasionally one or two sneak through. And I should have said, yes, you're absolutely right. It was his UK tour. And, wherever he played, the national anthem was the last tune. And weirdly, it didn't happen in Belfast. It's before the Troubles.
Did he think that this was something all UK musicians... Oh, no, or not all UK musicians, but all foreign musicians in the UK have to do?
No, it was the venues. The venues played it.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Ah. Encore.
That's the thing. If they go back on after the national anthem, then they have to play the national anthem again. It's a really long evening when that happens. Yeah.
Someone told me that there's like the timing of the British national anthem is a mistake, but like technically, like it's meant to be four times faster, but there was like a mistake in the notation or something. Right. So we've all just because of a misprint or something been singing the like really, I mean, I you know the version that we sing all the time every day.
As soon as I wake up.
Yep. Open the Carlsberg, have a little, have a little sing.
Listen, I'll be honest with you, I never remember the words unless I'm a little bit pissed.
My family moved to America for about half a year and it was awful because we had to go to this little like Catholic school and I hated it and I told everyone I was a witch. But anyway, we had to say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the States every morning and every evening at the end of the school day. And all the American kids just did it. And me and this one Russian guy just like sat at the back of the class. Going, no.
Really? You teamed up with the Russian in America?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, in hindsight, I don't know. In hindsight, I don't know.
Oh, sure.
But I forgot like how like patriotism is embedded in a lot of people's lives in my little bubble. I find that quite weird, but maybe it isn't weird. Maybe all bands should end with the national anthem. I'm in the wrong here.
Well, Queen, the band, does, but that's neither here nor there. But here's the thing. When I was 11, my family went on holiday with me to America, and there are loads of photos of me as an 11-year-old standing by the Stars and Stripes flag with doing sort of like, you know, that fist over your heart thing?
Yeah.
And it's like, why the fuck did my parents do that? Literally, patriotism is what fucking ruined our lives.
Yeah.
We're in Northern Ireland. Patriotism is fucking tearing everything apart. And they're making me do some patriotism, like posing patriotism.
What happened? Did they just get caught up in the excitement of the...
Yeah, absolutely. They just saw... They 1,000% bought into, oh my God, this place is amazing. If you go to America, all your dreams are going to come true.
Mm.
And not all of my dreams came true, which is great in some ways because I've been chased by a lot of mechanical clowns. So that's good.
Yeah. If you like the dreams that you have when you were 11, I just wanted a dolphin tattoo. I'm very happy that I don't have a dolphin tattoo. It wasn't a very exciting 11-year-old dream. Also, wait, were your parents doing the thing of like, because Americans on the ground get so excited when like real Irish people, Northern Irish people, people from...
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, were they just like indulging the photo ops of all the Americans who were just like beside themselves to see?
No. My parents bought into the whole freaking thing.
Wow.
Like, we were over there visiting family and they were like, well, they're not that impressed by Irish people because technically they genuinely are Irish. Mm-hmm. They might be one generation removed, but they're Irish, you know? If there's plenty of Americans who are like, eighth generation and they go, yeah, I'm Irish. You've got a green hat, mate. That's all.
Joe Biden. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But wasn't it great, at least in the 80s and the 90s, when they sent us some money for the boys? Anyway, let's move on to the next question.
How am I doing?
Right, so far, well, I've written down you're correct about tambourines.
Oh, and horses and fish fingers.
So far.
I'm smashing this.
Yeah, really are nailing it. Here's the next question, Sian. If you could build a time machine, and I don't doubt you could. If you could build a time machine and go back in time to kill Hitler, at what stage of Hitler's life would you kill him? And what amusing weapon would you use?
It would have to be something to do with the landscape paintings, I think.
Oh, yeah, because that would really hurt him.
Yeah, yeah. And also, yeah. I think that would really help things to make sure that those were stopped in their tracks. And I think that the best way to pointedly murder Hitler as he was toxically on his way to make another fucking painting would be with, like, a biro, maybe, like an alternate, or a Sharpie. Could I kill him with a Sharpie? A lilac Sharpie. I would murder Hitler at the point of completing a landscape painting with a lilac Sharpie pen.
I mean, you could smash him in the face with an Etch-a-Sketch if you want. I mean, it's really...
That's a much better idea. Yeah.
I can't take credit for that. I can't possibly.
I think you can. It was what you said. But that's very kind.
It was what I said.
Isn't that how credit works?
Yeah, but I mean, but like you said, it's not about me, you know. And although it is, everything is.
Also, here's the thing. I think I don't think there is an unfunny way to kill Hitler. I think that he's such a weird looking guy that any death. I mean, I'd enjoy it. Apart from all the stuff he did. Yeah.
It'd be nice to rip his moustache off and watch him deflate, like, right around the room. Like, that would be kind of fun.
I think ripping off the moustache...
I don't know if that would happen.
No. Ripping off the moustache and using those on the landscape painting as, like, an extra bit of texture. Although, I don't know, that might improve the painting, so maybe everyone loses in that situation.
If you're in any way interested, and I don't know... maybe you were interested the second we met. I wonder when he would kill Hitler. Well, I'm going to tell you when I would kill Hitler.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely kill teenage Hitler. Because you know how bad a man Hitler is, right?
Yeah.
Imagine how awful he would have been as a teenager.
I'm going to...
Jeez. Really annoying.
Do you not... really irritating. Not like absolutely horrible. Just...
He would have been horrible. He would have been into, you know, genocide and just dictatorship. But also, he would have slammed doors a lot. You know?
Yeah.
You don't understand me or my music. Goes upstairs, plays Wagner. Yeah.
Do you think that he would have been like... Because he would have been precocious in school, right? Yeah. Would have been annoying, not because he was actively being, like, awful to people, but just kind of had that, like, quiet smugness, you know, like there was a guy I went to school with who, if someone wasn't answering a question properly, he would put up his hand and he'd answer with, like, well, obviously it works like this. I feel like Hitler was probably more that person. Oh yeah, absolute, like, asshole. The problem is he was right a lot of the time, but, like, it was just more that, like, kind of condescending teenager.
So do you think Hitler was maybe born at the wrong time? Like, if he was alive now, he'd just have a podcast and we'd be able to deal with him.
I think, and listen, I hate to give credit too generously, but I think Hitler would have been an incredible incel. I think he would have just, like...
Yeah, really, good at it.
Yeah, I think he would have taken it to next level broadcasting.
Sure.
I mean, I think now, I don't know, it's probably like... This is not an original idea. He would just be a kind of, like, Jordan Peterson, not exactly, but he'd have an area of the internet, right? You know, and he'd be like,
oh, he definitely would. He definitely would. And and I get the feeling, you know, he'd be really angry about those downfall clips. Yeah, he wouldn't be able to shrug that one off and laugh at it. No.
I think it's more fun trying to imagine Hitler as a French duke, just trying to understand why everything isn't a tank, you know? Like, that, that I think would be... That's how I would murder Hitler. I wouldn't murder him on sight. I would go to where he was calmly painting a landscape painting and go, no, that's actually quite, that's fine. Anyway, you're coming in the time machine with me. And then I would bring him back to a century before and be like, you know what? I'm not going to stop you. You live your dreams. Just get through the to-do list. But you have to do it in France in 1750. And I just, because I think he's probably quite meticulous as well, I would just watch him try and work through the to-do list, but having to negotiate like a rough and like a lack of industrial 20th century machinery. I think that would be nice.
Sean, I have to ask you this because you are the kind of person that sees the good in everyone. If you saw Hitler painting, like say he was like up a hill painting the Bavarian Alps.
Yep.
And you saw him from a distance, you went, oh, that's fucking Hitler. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. But you got there and you saw the painting and he was actually painting his own dick.
Mm.
Would you suddenly have more respect for him and go, fair play, that was funny?
I'd say it'd be a bad painting of an Alp, but...
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, just the fact, you know, that he decided that was the place that he was going to paint his own penis was in front of the Bavarian Alps.
When you say, would I have more respect for Hitler?
Yeah.
If I could revere him anymore.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say the bar is, you know, like, again, you've got to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. I think I would kind of want to see, I'd want to see Hitler's dick pic. I'm going to broadcast that. I would want to see.
So what you're saying is Hitler's, as far as you're concerned, Hitler's dick pic was solicited.
By me.
This is a controversial statement, but, you know.
Listen.
I'm glad we finally got it out of you.
Michael, can we also, just with the context, I'm alone in the Alps, right? I'm just wandering around. He's the only man I've seen for a while. And I wander over, he's painted a picture of a penis, which is very considerate of him to give me a kind of visual guide, like remind me what that looks like, because I will have forgotten. Honestly,
not all bad.
No, yeah, I'd say that's quite a redeeming feature.
Okay, so I actually have written correct about Hitler, and I'm going to put down wrong about Hitler. I think finally you have cracked in this psychological profile, but maybe you can redeem yourself with the next question. Sean, have you ever been to Newtownards?
What's Newtownards?
That's my hometown. Why have you not been there?
Shit. Is that where we're supposed to be doing this recording?
No.
I'm sorry.
There's very little to recommend when you're not.
Well, have you been to my hometown?
I don't know where your hometown is.
Brussels.
Brussels?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to Brussels. I've been to Brussels a few times.
Oh, fuck you. No, I haven't been to Newtownards. Sorry.
I mean, you've been very rude about it. I've been to Brussels and I enjoyed Brussels. Mm. There's a lot of brewery tours.
Did you make any friends
in Brussels?
Yeah.
Oh, do you mean in life?
Oh, I was. I mean, we can keep it open.
It's the same answer.
It's really hard to make friends in Belgium. So, no, I was just wondering if you did. Yeah. It's really hard. I was like there was a lockdown, so fair enough. But I was in Belgium for nearly 1 year and I made one friend and it was really fucking hard. So, not a very like open society.
But hang on. When did you say you lived there?
I'm from Belgium.
No, I know that. And you said you couldn't.
Yeah, I ended up because of COVID and Brexit and stuff.
You were yes.
Yeah.
I was going to say, If you were only there for 2 years and you didn't make any friends, it's fine. You're a baby.
Oh, yeah. Babies also notoriously unfriendly to other babies. So I've got loads of opt-outs in that situation.
Listen, when I was, 8 months old, all my friends were adults. I just hung out with a more mature crowd.
Oh, man, that's cool. Like the cool older brother, but literally just an older brother.
Yeah. I mean, he was like 6.
That's an adult.
Yeah, that's an adult, as far as I'm concerned. I like Brussels. When you just said it's hard to make friends in Brussels, I've been thinking about this. And I know that people might go, well, Facebook and all that stuff is the answer here. But no. Why isn't there a Tinder for just friends?
Oh, my God. Thank you. Yeah.
You know what? I think you can just take one look at a person and real and think there's a chance we could be friends, as much as you can take one look at someone and go, oh, I'm physically, sexually attracted to that person, therefore I'll get in contact with them Tinder, right?
Would it be like opposite Twitter? Like if you took everything that connects people on Twitter and built something that was like the photo negative of Twitter, like
sure,
friender, I don't know. It's weird, but I think also just like, how do people make friends? I don't know. I've lost like the guidebook.
This is literally why I started this podcast, in the hope that we could answer that question. I didn't think I'd have the question fired back at me. I don't fucking know.
Michael, can we be friends?
Listen, I'm hoping we are friends. We are friends. From the bottom of my heart, I'm hoping that we're friends.
Yeah.
But why isn't there a Tinder for friends? You know?
Yeah. There's Meetup. I'm on a queer dating app where you can set your settings to like, so you can choose, you can be looking for like dates or hookups or friends, like friends is a button.
Oh, okay.
Or like community and events, which is like, I think that's really nice. It's like, hey, state your purpose. And it can be like, I'm here to find people to play Dungeons and Dragons with, or go mushroom foraging with, or for a queer kink poly orgy with, you know. It's like you can just kind of like set out the tiers really overtly, and I think that's cool. But I don't know. I feel weird about just kind of wandering into a situation going, friends?
It just seems a bit weird that you can get apps for, like, you not only can you get apps for like your partner, so to speak, or your, you know, would-be partner, but like you can get apps for like a pet.
Yeah.
It's like, well, how come you can get all these things and you can't get a friend?
Why can you get borrow my doggy?
Some music in. Right.
Yeah, why can you get borrow my doggy but not reciprocate my need for human contact? It's a much catchier title.
Yeah. Why isn't there an app called Let's Have a Pint?
Yeah. You know? It's a thing, right? Of like Facebook, which now is just the sort of crumbling architecture of a social media platform. I think everyone I've met on Facebook is someone who I met in real life and then kind of went, oh yeah, let's be friends on Facebook to just kind of have a different stream of communication. But the other way round is much more difficult, right? Of like, oh, hey, no, like we're friends on Facebook, who then became WhatsApp friends, you know, like the real friendship. I don't know. But also, I just don't know what the rules are for making friends anymore. And maybe it's also that thing of like, I can't remember what question we're on, but I'm really going on a big detour here.
Maybe we should be more like the animal kingdom. And by that, I mean dogs. Like if you see a person like in a park that's, I don't know, 200 yards away from you, just bolt up to them.
Oh, I thought you meant in the sense of we should be more like the animal kingdom, i.e. dogs, and be tied by a leash to someone who is then legally obliged to
you know
be
what?
Your
no
friend.
No matter what, Shan, at the end of the day, we are. One way or the other, we are.
Oh, that's what the name of our app could be. Leash. It could be Leash. That's the friendship app. But you
okay.
you like choose the length of your leash. Like, do you want like a kind of fun bounding long distance friendship? Then you go, yeah, I select that one. Or do you want like a really like a confidant who you like you WhatsApp during the day when you're bored at work? That's like a short leash. And you don't say like what your height is or your name or your star sign or what your interests are in the app. You just put lengths, and the length of the leash is what people select. And then we all kind of, yeah, we all sort of connect that way. Maybe.
I mean, yours is probably a lot more marketable, because my idea for the name was going to be no fucking no no. And so you might be right in this one. Hey, let's move on. By the way, I've just put down that you're correct about Newton Arts.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next question. Thank fuck someone's correct about Newton Arts. Here we go. Sean, what will be the name of your last pet?
Of my last pet. Oh, yeah. So we're hoping that I'm old, right? So I'm hoping that
hoping that you're very old.
Yes, I want a long life. So my gran's friends, they all named their pets after political leaders. And they didn't really have a relationship or like an opinion about their political leader. But like my granny's best friend had a cat called Gorbachev, which I thought was kind of cool. So I guess... Yeah. My last pet might be like Ed Miliband or Mick Lynch. Like, it would be someone like politically significant now, but who will be like redundant in future.
That's pets for you.
Yeah. Perishable, really perishable pets. Yeah. Or I don't know, maybe yeah, I think Mick Lynch is a nice name for any pet. It could be a lizard, it could be a bird. Yeah, I'll go for Mick Lynch.
Someone's got a pet called Thatcher, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Someone does.
Yeah, if it's a bird as well, it does do thatching, so you could kind of swing it as like, no, it's just its job description. It does nest stuff.
I think you've given Thatcher supporters perhaps too much credit there.
Shit.
Yeah, I reckon there's many a cat called Thatcher, and I bet there's maybe one dog called Harold Wilson.
it's
going to be many.
Do you think people call them like Maggie, as like it's actually a Margaret Thatcher cat, but we call her Maggie just to sort of keep the dinner parties less awkward?
That is true. God, that is so right. Yeah, there's going to be even more cats called Maggie. You're right.
Yeah.
Maggie the Moggy, and they'll laugh it off, but really it'll be Maggie the fucking bastard. Am I right, guys?
Yeah. Aggressive fiscal policy.
I'm gonna put down correct about Thatcher.
Yeah.
And cats.
Yes.
Here we go. Next question. Sean! You discover a man who has been frozen in ice for 6,000 years. Which three Netflix shows would you recommend to him, and why? Because surely he's dead.
Was he in the Alps painting a picture of his penis, or was it a different man?
Well, 6,000 years ago, it's definitely a different man. But that's not to say he wasn't doing that, because what else was there to do?
There wasn't anything on back then. I've got to show him three Netflix shows. Or anything.
Just to get him up to speed. Just get him up to speed.
I haven't watched a lot of TV. I have to show him three Netflix shows. I guess I could show him... what's it called? The Big Short? Like the documentary about the crash? I think that probably...
Yeah.
Or like, is The Wolf of Wall Street on Netflix?
I don't know. I don't have Netflix.
Why did you write this?
I don't know. I don't know why I did anything. I don't know.
I think, listen, if he's just woken up after 6,000 years, what he's going to need to understand is the dramatic disruption to the economy around 2008. So let's start with Wolf of Wall Street. And also...
Great.
Yeah?
Perfect.
Okay. And I think also... That introduces him to Leonardo DiCaprio. So we've kind of covered a lot of ground. What else?
And he can go off and, you know, find more of Leo's stuff, you know, later.
Yeah, he can go watch Romeo and Juliet. He can watch Titanic. He can watch...
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Yep.
Yeah.
Are they all on Netflix? No, okay. No, so that's the one. The Wall Street.
Are you looking at Netflix now? Are you?
No, I'm honestly, I'm off piste. I'm doing this like authentically. I'm not calling a friend. Okay. I'm just doing it. I'm doing it raw.
I mean, you can do it whatever way you want, whatever, you know. I don't have Netflix, so I can't help you out. I remember Sunny in Philadelphia being on Netflix. I can't even remember the name of Netflix. So.
Yeah, but that's good. I don't know. I feel like I should show him things that are instructive, so he's really paying attention. Right. My sister has been watching a show called Inside the Mind of a Cat, and that would be a good contrast to The Wolf of Wall Street, right? Because it'll be like, okay, we've covered greed and being horny, so defining attributes of people. Let's look at greed and being horny, but from the point of view of a cat. So that's an option too, inside
it's
the mind.
It's great because it's not a speciesist selection you're giving him then.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's really nice.
It's the whole buffet. I think then maybe we should lighten things up a little bit. Maybe we'd watch Minions if that's on Netflix or like... Wally?
I think personally, I've just realized this, he'd probably just like, you know that fire thing?
You can watch
a fire for like 40 minutes.
What, like putting he'd a fish probably,
tank? Yeah, he'd probably like that because I am still a bit chilly.
Yeah. That would, I think, you know, that'd be a good palate cleanser to appeal to his interest. Definitely a fire, not an aquarium, because I think, you know, having been in... frozen water for a while, it's been
exactly
this guy sounds nice as well. This is kind of like a weird date setting. I think it sounds quite fun.
Exactly, that's what I thought. You know, he's been frozen for 6,000 years. I think we should set him up immediately.
Thawing and chill.
Well, I've put down correct about Netflix, so there you go. You are doing very well with one blip, so that's pretty good.
And the blip was here we go. Hitler, so really, okay, cool, I'll take it.
And you know what, maybe you know, we all have moments where we see Hitler in a different way, or we accidentally say that we did, and it's just a shame that for you, it's a matter of public record.
Yeah. In my moments of weakness, I have thought, Hitler, I would like him to send me a hand-drawn dick pic. And the more I think about it, the more I know that's true.
Do you think Eva Braun got a dick painting?
Ooh.
Tough question.
So he tended to paint landscapes, right? So
but he was full of himself, so
yeah, that's true. I think a dick pic is better in portrait, but like I'm sure she got a few.
Yeah, sure.
You don't really want a water anyway, it doesn't matter. Sorry. I was thinking watercolor isn't the right medium, I think. An oil painting of a dick pic, but I think he painted in watercolor, mostly landscapes, but as you say, fairly self involved, so maybe willing to take a punt. For the sake of art,
I think to call him self-involved is very kind of you. And once again, it's just showing sort of like your nice side.
Yay!
Here we go. Here's the next question, Sean. Do you think children still like Snakes and Ladders? Not the game.
Well, children have always loved snakes.
No, they love them.
Yeah, can't get enough of them. Big worm. I really liked snakes as a kid and terrified of ladders.
See, as a child, I loved ladders.
I think
I was obsessed with ladders.
Really? We would have had
People were up ladders doing things that were practical, and I was like, wow, I'll never be able to do that.
But then didn't you look at the other people who had their, like, snakes, and you were like, oh, but they've got a snake. That's much better than a ladder. I've picked the wrong side.
Well, don't forget, I'm from the very county where St. Patrick is buried. So the idea of supporting something that he did such a great job of getting rid of.
Were you allowed to know what a snake was as a child, or is it something that... Oh, okay, hang on. Because St. Patrick banished the snakes, this I understand. But was it a thing of like, we don't mention the snakes anymore? Like, just don't even use the word. The snakes were never here. Anyone even think about a snake or draw a snake? No, it's like, it's just violence.
Snakes just never came up in my life as a child. whereas ladders, you couldn't fucking move for ladders. And no, you really couldn't. People were working constantly up ladders. And it was, you know, it was like, God, what must it be like to be that high?
You know? How many ladders did you have in your house?
I don't even know if we had any. It was other people who had ladders. Yeah. Aww. I own a ladder now and I've got no interest in it. And I think that's my point.
Yeah. No, but I can understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I could get up a ladder. I think I'd be scared.
I really like snakes, but I can live without one in the house, I think, on balance. Even, you know, like, yeah, the streets of Belgium were swarming with snakes, as I'm sure you're aware. But I think now, as an adult, I wouldn't have one in my family home.
I've never touched a snake. I wonder, is that something that's lacking in me?
Really? You've never
touched a snake? Ah. I've touched an alligator, mm-hmm. and I've touched a tarantula.
Appropriately or inappropriately? I'm just checking.
Really inappropriately. Like, I'm talking proper hashtag Me Too stuff. I had the entire tarantula in my hand.
Stroking its legs. Hey, babe.
Yeah, it's got, just putting, really?
Putting a little arm around its abdomen, like, come closer.
Exactly.
They're just pretty big. You know what?
Yeah. Let me introduce you to Attenborough.
Do you want to be on my podcast?
Yeah, exactly. It works, right? I had an alligator in my... A guy... I'm going to cut this story short so that we can have some air of mystery to it. Ooh. But a guy that I met walked out of his house with two alligators. One was an adult alligator and one was a baby one. And as he walked towards me, I went, please don't fucking hand the baby alligator to me. Please don't. And he just did. And I went, for fuck's sake. And all I could think of was, that adult under his arm knows I've got the baby. Which of the two of us do you think this alligator is going to attack? By the way, I don't know if you know the end of this story, but I haven't been eaten. So
yeah, no, that okay, yeah, that's
fine.
True.
It was fine.
Listen, I'm going to be honest. I would find it incredibly hard in that situation to not at least try to breastfeed the baby alligator. There would just be something that. I mean, it wouldn't be nice, but
it was very cute.
Oh my god!
Because it was all big eyes and
nice teeth, you know, and yeah.
Really nice. Like it nibbled, but it was like, that's not going to. Whereas, you know, the adult was like, just
the adult was drunk. Like,
this prick. 9 seconds.
How big was he? I know you want to move past this story, but I want to zoom in. How big was the adult alligator? Like a meter?
I'd say so. I mean, like, you know, it's the size of an alligator and it was underneath the guy's arm.
Because that's like, what confused me. I thought
like he was carrying an ironing board.
Wow. And the baby?
The baby was like, I don't know, about the size of a beer can, except one that I didn't want to hold.
Oh, wow. Wait, so that's tiny. I thought it'd be more like, you know, the size of a like a laptop case, at least.
No. It's a proper little baby. And I imagine the adult was heavily drugged or something because, like I say, I didn't get eaten.
I want to cuddle the baby alligator now. I want to cuddle it so bad.
Hey, do you know what? I've just remembered something properly creepy happened. So it was about, I think about 2000, something like that, 2001. And so mobile phones with cameras weren't so you know, widely whatevered.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have a camera with me, but I noticed this German couple with that, and they were taking photos of these alligators, right?
Yeah. Wow.
And yeah, exactly. And I just said to one of them, like, could you take a photo with me with this baby alligator? And like, yeah, yeah. And I went, and could you email it to me? I'll give you my email address. And like, yeah, yeah. And they took the photos. And then anyway, there was all these other people around at the time. And then once everything calmed down a bit, I went, so can I give you the email address? And they went, why?
No.
So you can send me the photo. And they went, what photo?
No.
And I went, you definitely took some photos of me. And they went, no, we didn't. And they just got into the car and drove away.
So somewhere there's a German couple who've got for their own personal use. What do you think they've done with the photos?
Listen, everyone has a fetish, and someone has a fetish which is wanking over me holding a baby alligator.
And
do you know what? That person couldn't have believed their luck that day. Fuck. I mean, this has been a long time coming, so to speak. But yeah.
Wow, yeah. Once in a lifetime. I hope those surface, but I feel like finding the worst time for those pictures to surface would mean things have worked out really badly for you.
Things have, so that you know, it's any second now they'll come up.
Fill your boots. Yeah. Oh man!
Anyway, I put down correct about snakes.
Okay.
This is the final question of the Golden Eight.
Whoa.
There's one question after this, but it's the penultimate question.
I can't remember any of the questions so far. You didn't need to know that. Never mind. Anyway.
No. Listen, one thing that I've tried, and I've tried so hard with this podcast, is to make it instantly forgettable.
Cool.
So thank you. If it's working, that's great. Sean, name five astronauts. And it's absolutely fine if you have to make up their names.
Laika the dog is an astronaut.
Yeah, that's true.
Big Bert from Lancaster. Nick,
yeah, that guy.
Nick Armstrong. He went to the moon.
He was all about the moon, old Nick.
Mark Wahlberg in the film, his character, who went to Mars. And your one from...
Did Mark Wahlberg go to Mars? Or was it...
Ben Affleck. Channing Tatum? No.
It's the other one. Can't I remember his name?
The other kind of potato man. Oh, man. Who is it?
Born Identity. Who the fuck's that
Jason Statham? Jason... No?
No. Let's say Larry Grayson.
Yeah, Jessica.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, Jessica Chastain as well. Yeah,
sure.
And one more. I'm thinking of the movie, the one where Cillian Murphy goes to the sun. Cillian Murphy, when he went to the
sun. Yeah, Cillian Murphy.
Yeah.
Oh, Summer Holiday.
Yeah, Summer Holiday. Yeah.
Good space movie.
SPF 3000. Great film. I love
Cillian
it.
Cillian Murphy, Una Stubbs, Double Decker Bus, The Center of the Sun.
Mr. Whippy, Mr. Blobby.
Okay, I'm going to put down correct about space men.
Mm-hmm.
And space women.
Yep.
Let's put space fuckers. There you go. I'll
just put that down.
No one is insulted, or everyone is. I don't know.
You didn't ask me a question which I thought was going to come up and which I had an answer to, which was the question of, like, if you met yourself, would you like you?
Okay.
I don't have an answer.
Do you want me to ask you? This is uncharted territory. I could go for that. No one's ever come with their own questions.
Oh, but it wasn't my own question. It's just one that you had before. And I thought, oh, fuck, that's going to
come okay.
Up. Yeah.
No. Hey, listen. No. This is all for you. Anyone else's questions you would have heard? Fuck those guys.
Fuck them.
But with that in mind, if you met you, would you like you?
I'm not sure because... So I was thinking about this because I met someone at a party, and we had this unspoken realization, which we then articulated literally a few weeks later when we became friends. Didn't need an app back in the day. You could just be a friend anyway. But I met a girl at a party and I realized that we had like the exact same social function at that party of like outgoing chatty girl whose role is to just like assemble lots of other people at the party together and then just kind of recede into the background and let everyone do their thing. And I was like, mm-hmm. I don't know, just like meeting someone who was just like me was very boring. And we both clocked it. We were kind of like, oh yeah, we're the industry standard version of this. We have some other things that differentiate like
right.
from each other. But
this is, you're sort of describing in a way why I don't go to like Comic Con or anything like that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, I don't need to meet more me's. I've got enough. I've got one, and that's already too many.
I don't need to be reminded how awful I am and embarrassing, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. I think that's the thing. It's like, I know that if someone just kind of needed to find another me at short notice, like, easily you go to a Lana Del Rey gig or you just you put something provocative on Twitter and someone with like a bob haircut and black eyeliner says something, right? And you know that's how you find another me. You know, it's kind of like, oh, here are the circumstances where me type people are found, and I don't want to meet those people. I think it's more interesting to meet people who are very un me. So yeah, it's not like a dislike exactly, it's just like a lack of interest. I'd be like, it's like if I had to, like, live in a flat with a clone of me, I'd just be exhausted. Like, we don't need more of this. We need like a counterpoint, you know?
I think I'd actively not get on with me. Mm. That's the thing. Yeah.
Same. Yeah. Well, both. Yeah. No, I get on with you. Yeah. Like. Yeah. Yeah. I gave that question. I thought about it a lot just because I remember this really pointed moment where I looked into the eyes of someone and we both realized that we were looking at, you know, just like if we were building a character in The Sims, all of the same controls kind of went into this person. This is what they do in like a social situation. And it was kind of like, I think we were both very like underwhelmed and eager to go and chat to other people who were very different, because that's just more interesting than like I know what she loosely is like, you know, same, and sure. It's boring, not boring like in itself, but boring because it's like, well, it's just the same as always.
How do you feel when you date someone and you've been dating for a while and all of a sudden they start liking the things that you like?
They're kind of catfishing a bit as
like
you.
Like, but all of a sudden they go, do you know what? I've started taking salt in my tea. That's my weird thing.
I've started licking my own shoes just to feel something.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel proud and I feel relieved with the shoe licking. I feel relieved for their immune system, which means they'll live a long and happy life, and I'll be relieved of care responsibilities.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. To be honest, it hasn't happened that often.
Finally, because, some honesty.
Yeah, yeah, thanks. It's been a long time, but I lasted 50 minutes, and now I can let it go out. To be honest, I think people who've dated me very rarely get into the stuff that I really like, because the version of me that they like dating is the sort of thin film of a person who is dateable, and then they sort of look under the lid and find out what I actually enjoy and they go, fuck. But by that point they've got emotionally invested, so it's too late to back out. So yeah, very rarely have people started to like the bands I like or books that I'm into. So how do you feel? Do you feel cheated or like?
I don't like it at all. I don't. I really, really, really don't like it when it's happened to me. And the one that really sticks in my head is really early 90s. I'm seeing someone and I'm a huge Smiths fan.
Mm-hmm.
And she hates the Smiths. She's going, oh God, this isn't even music. And I'm totally happy with that.
Yeah, great.
But as the relationship goes on, She's gone, oh my God, they're amazing. They're amazing. They're amazing.
Oh no, they grow on her. No, ah.
Leave it. And then one, this is terrible that I'm saying this, but fuck it. Then I come home from work. It's hard to believe, but I used to be employed. Right? I come home from work one day and she's sort of done the flat up. So it's all sexy.
Okay.
Right. And, but she's put Smith's videos on the TV.
Wait.
And she wants us to make sweet love on the floor in front of the, and I'm like, no, can't bang in front of Smith's video. I just can't. Smith's are not sexy. And I don't know.
But had so she whole... had she kind of thought, oh, so kind of like Berlin Sex Dungeon, where there's like porn playing on the screen around, but she was playing the Smiths videos. It's very kinky.
Instead of exactly. But she thought it'd be like a sex dungeon, but without it, instead of physical pain, it'll be existential angst. and I've enough of that during sex anyway.
I thought the emotional torture was a given. Why do we have to have it on TV? Yeah. Wow. Okay, I just have to check. Was there more than one screen, or was it from one screen only?
It was one screen.
Okay.
But it was in the room.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was like, can I need to switch this off. And she goes, why? Why? Oh, no, don't switch it off. I like it. And I'm like, yeah, that's one of the reasons why I don't switch it off.
Do you think that's a thing, though, especially with attraction, is often what's attractive about someone is that they're a bit mysterious. You know, it's like, I'm never really going to suss this person out. And the more they become like you, the more you're like, oh, no, I know. I get this now.
Of course it is. Of course it is. It's like the... Oh my God. Put it this way. Obviously, at the beginning of a relationship, if your partner all of a sudden starts acting like you, you go, fuck me. Well, I might as well just stay home and wank. And then obviously, once you get into the relationship, you go, I'd love to stay home and wank. But that's neither here nor there.
For sure. I've been feeling this very intensely because I generally... I'm like overwhelmingly attracted to quite like quiet people because I'm just like a gobby extrovert who just like crashes around talking about myself all the time. So like the fascination with people who don't just like vomit out what's going through their heads at any given point is just like, I'm mesmerized by it, you know? Difficult group of people to meet, but, it's the sort of the alienness of people is what makes them interesting. The more they're kind of like, oh no, yeah, sure. The more I think they're already inside your head, the more you're like, why would you do this? I live it every day. It's awful.
See, I'm like that, but I'm like that with people who are just so kind. It's like it's, I'll be honest with you. I'm so horrible.
Mm.
That when I meet someone who's really, really genuinely kind and warm, I feel like I'm meeting an alien. Like, what is this strange language that you use and weird way of living? Being selfish is amazing. You don't have to give a shit. You don't care about anything. It's fucking great. I mean, you don't lead a single happy day of your life, but you don't have to do anything. And then you meet a kind person, you go, oh, I want to be like that.
So, question for you.
But I can't do it. So there you go.
Question for you. What about virtue signalers, right? So people who like compulsively virtue signal because they would give off every visible sign of being like a deeply compassionate, caring person. But it tends to be to be like, for their own means, you know, to kind of manipulate people to their own ends. Does that like, is that like the best of both worlds for you? Or does one kind of cancel the other out?
It definitely cancels the other one out because here's the thing. It's only genuinely kind people. We all know the social media version of kind person, which is, it's not a kindness. It's them saying, look at how much better I am than you. Mm. And that is not kindness. That is
branding. Yeah.
Bollocks. So yeah, I mean, that sort of person, that, and those people are easy. They don't know this. That's the thing that we have over these people. They don't know how easy they are to see.
Mm.
But they don't know that. So hey, they're off still going, oh my God, people, oh my God. Now, I watched a documentary last night about an Instagram scammer.
Ooh.
And it's got, oh my God, she was so horrible. What she did was she let these people in to her life by saying she was a lovely person. And guess what? She only wanted to sell her merchandise. And I went, yeah, because you were all buying into this whole idea of, well, if we're friends with her, then we're good people. It's like, you're horrible people. You're calling her horrible, but she was just doing what you wanted her to do.
Yeah, on a sales platform.
And you paid her to do it. Yeah, right. Yeah. And I was like, no. And like, I couldn't believe it was in the true crime section of iPlayer. It was like, what crime has she done?
Yeah, I haven't seen that episode on Jameela Jamil, but I'll check it out.
You really should. You really should. You really should. You really should. We have one fight. By the way, I'm going to put down correct about Jameela Jamil.
Or Greta Thunberg.
Yeah. Greta Thunberg. Yeah. No, I'm going to... Fuck Greta. I'm going to put down there. Okay. Here's the final question. Mm. If you can answer it.
Ooh.
Sean.
Yes.
What is Leghole?
Oh, it's a howl of despair into the void. But at this point, what isn't?
I mean, I actually think that was very generous because I think of Leghole as the void.
Oh, so, wow.
So there you go.
Yeah, like a self-reflecting void, like the kind of Russian dolls of void within void within void. Yeah.
I'm gonna put kind down. Your last. Sean Doxey, thank you so much for joining us all.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Us all being me and Neil.
Hi, Neil.
The audience is called Neil.
Cool.
Thank you so much. Luckily, we have enough information about you now that we really know who the real Sean Doxey is. So,
yeah.
If you don't mind, I can now go through that Sean Doxey is correct about horses. She's correct about fish fingers. Correct about the tambourine, correct about Hitler. She's wrong about Hitler. She's correct about Newtonards, correct about Thatcher and cats, correct about Netflix, correct about snakes, correct about space fuckers. She does think that Greta should go fuck herself. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that was about, but she's also very kind, and all those things come together to make our beloved Sean Doxey. Let's hear from Sean Doxey. Come on. Mm. Sean, thank you so much for joining us. Here in the lake. Oh, and thank you, people at home or on a bus or just lying face down in a pub for listening to our blather. I was about to apologise for the technical fault at the beginning, but quite frankly, I think it's charming.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sean, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.